Good evening, and welcome to the Fantasy Process Report, week 6 edition. Yes. It is Saturday the 13th of October.
Oh yeah.
And once again, you've got the multi-location perfection coming from PPR, with Matt and Nick in Philadelphia, and Jason still in Miami, even though you were back last weekend.
That is correct. Yes, I was back. Unfortunately, I couldn't see you guys. I saw Nick very briefly at Seasons.
Yeah, while I was working.
I know. Yeah, I came in to get lunch with my brother. But yeah, I came back for a wedding. It was pretty busy. Went out on Saturday night. And then just like that, I had to leave again on Sunday. So it was very short. But it's good to be back home. It was a lot less humid than it is down here. But actually, I think we're getting into that sweet spot of Florida weather where it's transitioning and it's about 10 degrees less than it had been the past couple months, and the humidity is dropping, so I'm looking forward to it.
There you go. Have fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready for it. Also, other things I'm ready for, Burger King came out with 10 chicken nuggets for $1, and I got it earlier today, and I might be doing that every day for the rest of my life.
Okay, Burger King's chicken nuggets are absolutely dead last on the chicken nugget power rankings.
We don't even have Burger King's around us anymore.
Yeah, that's but what if I mean. You're going to get
Burger King's
10
chicken nuggets,
10 cents per chicken nugget, I'm okay
I mean,
with the drop in quality.
I'm not saying it's not a bad deal, but if I'm power ranking chicken nuggets, I am not putting Burger King's chicken nuggets.
Oh, I agree with you. Yeah, it goes
McDonald's,
Wendy's number one for me. Actually, no, Chick-fil-A.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A number
not
one,
even
Wendy's
in the same
number
sentence.
Two.
Come on.
Yeah. But yeah, as far Chick-fil-A. As value, I'm going to take a dollar for 10 chicken nuggets any day of the week.
You hear that, Chick-fil-A?
Yikes.
Dollar 10 nuggets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving forward. Like we said, it's week 6 in the league, and it means there's a lot to talk about. There's also a lot to talk about from Thursday night's game, isn't there, Nick?
Yeah, we had a Thursday night game.
We did. It was a great Thursday night game.
It depends on who you ask.
Great rivalry, historic NFC rivalry.
Actually, it wasn't a good game from anybody's perspective.
No, I would say it was a pretty good game.
No,
I think Alshon Jeffery
enjoyed
himself.
You guys had a good outcome for a fan's perspective, but it was just a shit game all around.
The Eagles won 34-13.
It wasn't entertaining in any way.
Sure it was.
Are you going to call Saquon's break runs not entertaining?
The Eagles finally looked like they had their swagger back. The offense was rolling. They don't have a feature back right now, and they were still rolling. The defense actually played well. Ronald Darby had the best game I've ever seen him play, period. The only thing that they couldn't do was stop Saquon, and I don't really blame him for that. Saquon's an absolute monster, and Saquon is going to be a problem for the Eagles for the next 10 years.
All right, so I got to say I was upset to learn on Thursday afternoon before the game that the Giants had fined Odell for his comments.
I don't blame them for it. Do you?
I do, because honestly, this team is going to be Odell's team once Eli's gone. We locked him up, so this is going to be his team.
Oh, yeah. He's
so
got
he's our
team
leader.
Too.
So I think he has earned the ability to kind of speak his mind on certain things, like especially like something that's going to motivate your team to do better. When you're 1-4 is what we were at the time that he said that, I think. This team needed that. This team is not showing the heart. And
I'm not saying motivation's a bad thing. I'm not.
I think he approached it wrong by doing
right.
it during an interview. But I
if,
still think that
the
comments
question,
are true. I think it's
question,
very fair what he
if
said.
If you're a wide receiver, I don't care what team you play for. I don't care what level of the game you're at. You're a wide receiver. A reporter comes up to you and says, is the quarterback a problem? The answer is always...
Well, he didn't
We're
call out
playing...
Eli in particular.
Yes, he did. That's why they fined him.
No, he
they
said
asked
that
him,
the team
they asked him
has,
the exact
was not
question
showing
was,
heart.
No. They asked him the question, is the quarterback a problem? And his answer was, I don't know. That was what they fined him for.
So saying I don't know is...
The answer All is right. always, we're a team, we do this together, this and this. The quarterback's not the problem, we love Eli.
I will say this.
The answer is, he answered the question... I don't know.
I will say this. I have always been a believer in Eli. You guys always talk so much shit on him as Eagles fans, which rightfully so. I think that he is very worthy of a lot of the crap that gets talked on him. But I've always been somebody who has his back. And after this past week, watching that Eagles-Giants game, I, for the first time, am starting to think about life after Eli.
As you should.
He looked like Sam Bradford.
This is the first time, though. You know,
he didn't throw the ball more than 5 yards downfield the entire game. I think I saw maybe 2 deep shots, and that was it. And I don't think either of them were directed at Odell. It was all just dink and dunk passes to Saquon Shepherd. And the tight end. Shepherd, yeah, he didn't throw the ball more than 5 yards downfield. I don't know if it's the offensive like scheme isn't like letting him throw downfield, or maybe he doesn't trust his arm as much as he used to, but he's just not taking chances anymore. And he's still getting picked off.
The longest downfield pass for you guys was the Shepherd catch that Jalen Mills was defending. The Jalen Mills didn't do a very... He didn't do a poor job of defending it, but he still let a deep ball go. But, that was about a 30-yard gain. That was the longest downfield play of the game. I'm not counting Saquon's runs because it was a screen pass he took for like 70 yards.
Yeah, I think the problem is he couldn't get anything going.
He had no time. The Eagles' pass rush was
there. The thing is, yeah, you're right.
And to the Giants' credit, the Giants' pass rush was all over Wentz, too. There was no blocking on either side of the ball.
But for my team's side, they didn't really... I think the problem, again, is with Eli, and what I'm realizing is that he's gotten hit a few too many times in the past year or two, and now it's starting to affect him on the plays that he is not under pressure. So even when his offensive line does a good job and gives him time, he still hears the footsteps all around him. And I think that's messing with him.
There were balls he was throwing 5 yards down the field that he was overthrowing.
Yeah, it's not like, out of bounds. Like on the sideline, balls on the sideline were just like completely uncatchable. And just,
it was a little bit shocking, to be honest. It wasn't. Yeah. Eli is a shell of the quarterback that won those 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah. And even those years he was not like
he wasn't a superstar.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say he won those Super Bowls. I think that was just a case of them getting hot at the right time and the defense
being
really good.
But even those
years,
he was still significantly better.
In those 2 Super Bowls, you had OC Umanura, Justin Tuck, Michael Strahan. You had JPP. Like you had some studs, and Antonio Pierce, I guess, the middle linebacker. Like those defenses were good, and the whole team got hot at the right time, and just happened to happen twice. I mean, the same thing happened to Joe Flacco. They got hot at the right time, won a Super Bowl, and he's not considered an elite quarterback, even though he got paid like one immediately after.
Well, that's Joe Flacco. I wonder what his next contract's going to look like.
True, but I'm saying, like, it can happen. Like, Super Bowls can come from just getting the ball rolling at the right time. I mean, even the Eagles had it happen last year. They got hot at the right time at the end of the year, I mean, in the playoffs, but the whole team came together, got hot, and they didn't have the best talent out there, I would say. I mean, we can all agree. Nick Foles isn't as good a quarterback as Carson Wentz or any of the top, 8 or 10 quarterbacks in the league, but they still got it done.
The quarterback ranking in the league right now is 1, Carson Wentz, 2, Nick Foles, 3, Trey Burton, and then everybody else. I mean, that's just a fact.
Is that for fantasy?
No, that's just power rankings. Oh, okay. That's a fact.
I will say I heard one thing that said for Eli that if he's not looking good by our bye week, then that's when we should consider putting in one of these other younger guys. And I wouldn't be opposed to that. The Giants have a week 9 bye, and I don't know. It's tough. Because you have unbelievable weapons around you. Evan Ingram coming back should help, but I don't know if it's really going to be enough to really give us some wins. But yeah, here Oregon's got a good quarterback.
Yeah, I was one of the ones who was like really critical of the Giants for passing on a quarterback this year, because all the reasons, like Eli doesn't look like himself anymore. He's really old, and there's the question of like, when are you going to be in this position to have a number 2 pick to change the direction of your whole franchise for the next 10 or 15 years and draft a quarterback? And, they went with Saquon, who was definitely the best player in the draft, but probably not the most important position. The most important position is quarterback. So I was really critical of them for passing on a quarterback. But I guess now looking at it, their thought was like, we can have the Sam Darnold or the Josh Rosen or the Josh Allen or whatever. And I guess they thought just as highly of them as any of the quarterbacks available in this upcoming draft. And I guess they imagined that they would be back in the top 10 somewhere. So I guess from their point of view, they're like, okay, we can either get a quarterback now who we feel, you know, X passionately about, or we can get a quarterback next year who we also feel X passionately about. But then there's Saquon, and he has no comparison in next year's draft. Like, Saquon is just this generational running back talent who can do everything, and he showed that Thursday night for sure. He is the real deal.
Yeah. Can we put an end to that argument? Because I just keep thinking about that image you showed me of the Giants passing up on T.J. Yeldon for Ereck Flowers.
No, it wasn't T.J. Yeldon.
Or Todd Gurley.
It was Todd Gurley.
They passed up on Todd Gurley.
Yeah, but that's my point.
Flowers.
He is a once-in-a-generation running back. Saquon Barkley is a once-in-a-generation
I would agree with that. I think he will
Who are the other quarterbacks? What other quarterback would the Giants have taken instead of Saquon Barkley?
Sam Darnold would be better
to have on your team than Saquon Barkley? No.
If the answer is simply no.
If you look at the longevity of running backs, then maybe in 12 years or something. I mean, but I guess my point is, like, you look at the Giants front office, and they thought just as highly of Sam Darnold as they do any quarterback available next year. So they're thinking, like, all right, we can get one now or we can get one next year. Either way,
it's just Sam Darnold has no targets on the Jets. You give Sam Darnold Odell Beckham Jr., I think he'll succeed.
Yeah, that's true.
Saquon Barkley, you're gonna tell me that Sam Darnold, you would rather have Sam Darnold on your team?
I would rather
have
Sam Darnold than Baker Mayfield. I would much rather say that. Okay.
The argument that everybody's making is that the Giants made a mistake taking Saquon Barkley.
I've definitely come around, and I'm on the Barkley over Darnold train. I've come around. I used to be like, oh, Giants, you were so stupid. Why would you pass on a quarterback?
No, I completely understand it.
There's other quarterbacks. There will be other quarterbacks.
You just asked the question, what quarterback would they have taken? And it would have been
over Saquon, is what I said. Over Saquon.
I mean, it's a tough question. Saquon, at the position you were at, Saquon was the best player at that position in the draft. And I mean, that's if you look at the draft purely as you're taking the best player available.
When was Deshaun Watson drafted? When was Pat Mahomes drafted?
He was like 24th overall or something.
Before the number 2 pick in the draft.
If that type of guy
falls into your lap, if it's at number 2 in the draft overall, you take him.
Where was Jared Goff drafted? Where was Carson Wentz drafted?
Okay, so you're doing the good examples. How many other rookie quarterbacks were taken in the top 10 that turned into nothing? I'm just saying it's a risk. Saquon was
Mariota,
not a risk.
Winston, they're still going.
Yeah, but those were taken outside of the top picks.
I mean, Andrew Luck.
Winston and Mariota were in the top 10.
Yeah, but no.
Johnny Football went 22nd.
You can find talent outside of a top pick. And I guess what it looks like next year, we're going to have a top pick. So if we need to use next year's pick on top talent quarterback, we can.
At this point.
And we'll still get him. But my,
we'll give you Foles for Saquon.
If there was another Saquon available at the top of the draft next year, I would take him and then trade him for another quarterback or something.
We'll give you Foles right now for Saquon.
No.
You don't want Nick Foles?
No.
Nick Foles is a Super Bowl MVP.
Sounds like a deal to me.
How about this?
Eli Manning never got Super
Saquon,
Bowl MVP.
You make the same trade to me in fantasy, and then
I'll give you Foles for Saquon.
No,
go pick up Foles right now. I'll give you it for Saquon.
Maybe we should move on.
I think what the best thing for us to do at this point, it's week 6, so about a week before the midway point for the fantasy football season, at least for the regular season, really the best thing to do at this point is go through all the games this week and really look as far as a fantasy standpoint, who's going to make a difference, who's not. So I think, I mean, this is what it was, literally just go game by game, I think, unless you guys have a different way you want to do it. I got the
That's fine, might as well.
List up here. We'll start with Tampa Bay at Atlanta.
Breaking news to Matt.
Stop it.
That's not quite actually breaking news because this came out, I think, 2 days ago.
I know, but I kept forgetting to take him out of my lineup because I was
Devontae Freeman's out.
Yeah, he is. Devontae Freeman is out of the game, which means Tevin Coleman once again is getting the start at running back. But interestingly, Ito Smith, running back for the Atlanta Falcons, has scored a rushing touchdown in each of the last 2 games, and Devontae Freeman did play last game.
He's been getting some looks.
So,
I'm still rolling with Tevin Coleman.
Right, Tevin Coleman's the guy, but if you were in a complete jam at running back right now, Eno Smith is on a 2-game scoring streak, so he might be a guy worth picking up, especially with Freeman sitting
out. Yeah, you just have to hope for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you're doing a lot of praying there, but he's on a 2-game scoring streak. Yeah. It's not...
And this isn't the worst matchup either. I mean, Tampa Bay's defense
is not great.
No,
this is going
to
be a shootout. Take the over. If you're betting, take the over.
This
game.
Is
going to
be a shootout. And the Falcons...
Especially with Winston getting ready to go against the Falcons D, too. The Falcons D
The Falcons
depleted.
Team is depleted. Broken. They're 1-4. They look lost.
True. That's a team whose heart you need to question, I think.
Absolutely. They look lost. It's a division
game. Is Julio
going to
get a touchdown?
It's a division game. They absolutely need a win.
Well, here's a question. Who gets a touchdown first, Julio or Devontae Freeman?
That's a good question.
Well, the easy answer is Julio. Devontae Freeman's not playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you just, I mean, what if Julio goes another 6 games without scoring a touchdown and Devontae Freeman?
What if Julio goes
the
whole season without getting a touchdown?
I would laugh so hard.
The way it's looking, it might happen.
I mean, it's going back pretty far.
He might be the only wide receiver to almost get 2,000 yards receiving and no touchdowns.
Oh man, yeah, that's it's tough to be a Falcons fan, I'm sure. Because they're another team that's just got so much talent there, and they just can't get it together.
Mm-hmm. What about
Calvin Ridley? What a good pick!
That, honestly, it looks like a case of the coordinator at this point. Because when Shanahan was there, that's when they had the Matt Ryan MVP year. Julio was balling out every game. Mohamed Sanu even was doing well, and they went to the Super Bowl and they blew a 28-3 lead, but. Shanahan leaves, and last year they just crumbled. Like, Ryan, I fell into the trap, and I took him fairly high in our fantasy draft, and he did nothing for me all year long. And now this year it's looking like it's kind of the same inconsistencies, and they're just not on the same page with Sarkisian's offense.
Yeah, well, Matt Ryan's the type of guy where he'll go for 8, and then go for 29, 39, and 28 points, and then go for 14. So those are his actual numbers, by the way. So
yeah.
On the other side of the ball, though...
He's reverting into a Blake
Bortles.
Yeah,
it really is. That's a good comparison.
On the other side of the ball, though, it is definitely going to be a shootout. It's definitely a start Jameis Winston week. It's definitely a start Mike Evans week. If you're stuck at receiver, it's definitely a DeSean Jackson flex week.
I guess so, yeah. If you need him, this week, just based off of matchup.
Yeah.
And I think O.J. Howard is still out, so it might be a Cameron Brate week if Cameron Brate is in there. I'm not sure. If I haven't looked instead of.
Yeah, I'd say both of the tight ends in this game are going to be sleepers, assuming O.J. Howard is out and that Cameron Brate will get the start. I think Austin Hooper, he had 9 catches, I think, last week. So definitely a PPR machine right there. Matt Ryan passes the ball close to 50 times a game, so everybody's getting looks. Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, Sanu, I don't know, maybe you'll consider giving Sanu a start. But yeah, definitely if you're looking on the Tampa Bay side of the ball, I agree. Mike Evans is obvious. DeSean Jackson will be close.
I think he's a flex option. I think if you've got DeSean Jackson, he's a flex option this week against Atlanta's defense. And I think Jameis Winston is an obvious quarterback start this week.
Yeah, for sure. I think it stops at Chris Godwin, though.
Yeah.
I don't think you can trust him just enough. I mean, he really produced in the Fitzmagic days a couple weeks ago, but...
That was a nice walt last
year. Yeah, I think he's kind of...
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm reading here...
Nice, Tampa Bay fans will look back in fondness.
I'm reading that O.J. Howard was a full participant in practice on Friday and is now listed as questionable, so he could suit up, in which case...
However, he was still wearing a bulky brace over his knee for the final practice of the week.
But if he suits up, does that scare you away from Cameron Brate? Because obviously tight ends...
Yes, it scares you away from Cameron
Brate. Tight ends are very thin this year, so these are the decisions that you have to make.
I think any sort of snaps, regardless of how well O.J. Howard does, if he's on the field for 30% of the snaps or 40% of the snaps or whatever, then that's... an exact number that Cameron Brate won't be on the field, or maybe they'll be on the field together and then Howard gets the target. So I think if Howard suits up, I'm staying away from Brate. I just don't trust the volume of him being on the
Famous
field.
Jameis.
I start him. I definitely start him against Atlanta.
You start him on his first week back. There's
Oh, yeah. He'll be looking to get sling it out there. He's going to toss some bombs 60 yards.
Well. He's played the last... He started last week, and then the week before that, they've already had their bye.
Their bye was 2 weeks ago.
Last game. Then the week before that, they started Fitzmagic and brought Jameis in, because Fitzpatrick threw, five interceptions?
I don't know. I feel like Jameis Winston's right around that, that 10 to 15 quarterback rank.
Against a weak defense, Jameis gets points.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like quarterbacks are tough to really play the matchup if you have a good quarterback. Because if you have, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Pat Mahomes, Cam Newton, that's at least five guys.
Carson Wentz.
These are guys. If you have them on your team, I've seen people sit Carson Wentz. Didn't Chris sit Carson Wentz?
Yeah, I don't understand why he sat Carson Wentz. That was a terrible call on his part.
Let's see. What did he get?
24.4.
Phillip Rivers could do better than that. Maybe not against Cleveland, but we'll see.
I mean, 24.4 would have put him at
point is there's a lot of quarterbacks out there.
Points on two people.
There's a lot of quarterbacks that are must starts, no matter who your backup is. So, I can understand not starting him, but he does have a juicy matchup this week.
Yeah.
What's the next one?
Steelers Bengals. The 2-2-1 Steelers against the 4-1 Bengals. Big surprise this year. Both teams really. The Steelers are 2-2-1, and the Bengals at 4-1.
The Steelers turned it around a little bit. They were looking like they might be dead in the water early on.
Yeah, you're not wrong. For the Steelers, obviously, James Conner and Antonio Brown must starts for your team. Juju Smith-Schuster, very solid wide receiver 2.
People on the radio were calling him wide receiver 1. I think I could see that.
I could make the argument.
I could see him as a wide receiver 1.
He was better than Antonio Brown.
One, very high end wide receiver 2.
Yeah, absolutely. Still a must start either way.
Still a must start. All three of those people. Mm-hmm. But is this James Conner's last week as a must start if Le'Veon does come back week 7?
Absolutely, it's his last week as a must start. And honestly, I wouldn't even start him in the first week that Le'Veon's back just because I don't know who the Steelers are going to play that card.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still a little shady because we've heard the rumor that Le'Veon's coming back during that week 7 bye.
Didn't he say he was coming back on Twitter or something?
But I don't think he's officially confirmed it yet. I think it's like the official reports were just like sources say he intends to come back.
The source was Le'Veon.
I love when it's sources.
This he said she said kind of thing. I don't think he has confirmed it yet. So I'm still a little hesitant to believe anything. I'll believe it when I see him at the field practicing.
Fair enough. On the other side of the ball, Cincinnati.
Joe Mixon, man, he's an RB1.
Mixon and AJ Green are probably the only people I'd even roster from Cincinnati right now. Tyler Boyd.
Would you start him? Because last week he had a. I remember Kevin had his whole.
I've already dropped John Ross in the league.
I think.
Although speaking of Tyler Boyd,
it was probably a week, 2 weeks
fire
ago,
start?
Something like that. I just meant like John Ross. I not only have I benched it, dropped.
Yeah,
he's,
I got
he's
you.
Off the
I got
table.
You. What are you saying, Jason?
I was saying, speaking of Tyler Boyd, so he put up the 4.1, the 18.1, the 22.7, and when I made him the fire start, he went out and had 11 catches for 100 yards.
There you go.
And then the week after that, what did he have last week?
Not bad. 4 catches,
not
44
so
yards. So yeah.
So what do we think?
So
is he going to rebound? Or
think
do we
so.
Think that he kind of peaked in those couple weeks?
It's hard to say.
I mean, Cincinnati's weird because, we're not used to them being, a good offense. They've never really had, a super consistent number 2 behind A.J. Green. So it's hard to say, of them sustaining. I mean, they've been very good offensively this year, but it's hard to...
very solid offense. Carson Palmer was throwing to Chad Ocho-Cinco, T.J. Houshmandzadeh.
T.J. Houshmandzadeh.
And, who was running back at that
Zimama.
Point?
Was it
no,
Jamal
it was,
on the Bengals?
It was, yeah, it was another Johnson.
No, he didn't play for the Bengals.
It was another Johnson.
Rudy Johnson?
Rudy Johnson.
That's right, it was another
Rudy
Johnson. Yeah, that's right.
Rudy!
That was the last time they had a good offense.
Mm.
Yeah.
TJ, who's your mama?
So yeah, it's hard to say if Dalton is, this is just like a smokescreen of him being a good quarterback this year, or if it's like the new offense is really helping him out, or if it's, you know, Tyler Boyd breaking out as a really good number two receiver, if it's going to continue or not. Like, that's one of the ones that I'm kind of torn on, if like the breakout's going to continue. Like, you have the Thielen breaking out, and it's pretty obvious that it's going to continue.
That was all last season.
And then you had like, Will Dissly breaking out, and you're like, this isn't going to last too long.
The thing with Andy Dalton,
it's hard to see.
I don't believe it for Tyler Boyd, by the
Tyler
way.
Tyler Boyd.
I don't think he's going to last.
The thing with Andy Dalton, my favorite NFL Network personality, Kyle Brandt, has a category of quarterbacks he likes to call the good, bad quarterback. Examples, Blake Bortles. What were we just saying? Jameis Winston is a great one. Andy Dalton falls into that character.
What's the other one?
Matt Ryan wasn't the other one.
Yeah, that's who we were comparing to Blake Bortles.
I was talking about Andy Dalton as far as the Bengals go. He is a good, bad quarterback.
Yeah.
He's a good backup. He's a good flex or bye week filler.
He looks okay at certain points, and then he looks complete garbage at others. Which is funny because that's how Blake Bortles looks, and they got to the AFC Championship game, but don't get me started.
Rex Grossman got to the Super Bowl. Mm. Never forget.
That he did.
So what do we think on that game? Is that one going to be over? High scoring as well?
I don't think that one's going to be high scoring.
It's a divisional game.
It's
and
a
you
divisional
know how those
game.
Divisional games go.
I think it'll be a ground game, to be honest. I think it'll be a mixing
pot.
Yeah,
I can see that. It's two very good offenses, but I think
it's in Cincinnati. I'd give Cincinnati the edge.
Yeah, and hit that and just straight up. I think I'd give the Bengals the advantage this year, at least right now.
All right, next game, it's not the San Diego Chargers. I started to say San Diego Chargers. Los Angeles Chargers. They've been there for 2 years now. It's the Los Angeles Chargers.
That's right. Yeah, they've been there for 2 years, but all their fans are still
You're not alone.
The Los Angeles Chargers against the Cleveland Browns. The 3-2 Chargers, the 2-2-1 Browns. Now, Chargers. Melvin Gordon is a monster and should be an absolute must start. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
He's in a matchup-proof class.
Yeah.
With a couple other of like the stud running back, where like it doesn't matter who they're playing, they could be playing the 2013 Seahawks.
Absolutely.
And you're still starting, and it doesn't matter.
I got a feeling about this game.
Yeah,
I think that Baker Mayfield is going to come back down to earth in this game. I think the Chargers are going to run train on the Browns in this game.
Baker hasn't been doing that good. He's been doing decent. When you say come back down to earth, it's
he's two and one. No, he didn't start the first two games of the season.
Yeah, and they lost both of them. Or they tied.
So he's been their savior there in Cleveland. I think
so
that
he came in for the tie game. Remember he came in for the tie game.
I think that the Chargers are going to be up big in this game.
No, they tied week 1 versus Pittsburgh.
Was it week 1?
Yeah, because that was the most Browns.
Yeah, they tied week 1.
Yeah.
So he's 2-1.
So he came in that Thursday night
starter,
game versus the Jets.
One of the wins came when he came in at halftime, but that's pretty much his start.
I would definitely start Jarvis Landry against the Chargers defense.
I think that a sleeper in this matchup is Austin Ekeler. I think if you're looking in a deeper league, or if you have some running back issues and he's available, he is available in a lot of leagues. I think Austin Ekeler is going to be a good
two Kyle Brandt references
option.
In 10 minutes probably isn't a good look, but Kyle Brandt actually called Melvin Gordon and Austin Ekeler the best running back 1-2 punch in the league right now.
Yeah. He's
hard
just,
to argue with that.
He's been extremely efficient with the low usage that he's getting. And
Yeah, he gets a lot of yards on whatever he's doing. So he gets a lot of screen passes, and he makes up a lot of yards with that. But then even running the ball, he still averages a pretty decent clip just on rushing attempts.
And that's why I think he's going to be good this week, is because, like I said, I think that the Chargers are going to be up pretty big. I think they're going to go up early. I know it's in Cleveland, but like I said, I just got a feeling that they're going to be up pretty big early, and then Eckler's actually going to get some usage in this game because Melvin Gordon, they've been using him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to give that man a little bit of a rest.
You know who I don't like from this game? I don't like Mike Williams on the Chargers. I mean, I know he's a monster, and I'm going to sound like an idiot because I forget the cornerback's name, but the cornerback on the Browns, the number 4 pick from last year, he's been balling out this year. And, like, I think Pro Football Focus had him rated as one of the top cornerbacks, especially as a rookie. So if he's shadowing Mike Williams, I don't see him breaking free much at all. And I think he was kind of a fringe flex, you know, wide receiver 2 at best anyway. So I think he's not a good start this
year.
Denzel Ward, that's his name. Just remembered it.
Here's a question for you guys. Looking at Cleveland, is it time to give up on David Njoku?
I wouldn't give up.
I think so.
I wouldn't. I would have him as your backup tight end at this point. I wouldn't want him as your starting tight end.
He had his season long.
He's got 11 catches.
Season highest yardage total.
And catch total.
And catch total last week, and he's been trending upward, but he still has yet to record a touchdown.
Yeah, so I think that he's not where you initially hoped he would be on your team.
No, he went fairly high. People were very, very high on David Njoku.
And then,
yeah, people are expecting the breakout. But I think, in fairness, this offense is still evolving. Like, they started out with Tyrod, who's a different type of quarterback than Baker, and now even with Baker, I think what a lot of teams do with rookie quarterbacks is they have sort of like a limited playbook at first, and then they kind of throw more at him, and then more, and then more, and put more on their plate and see what they can handle. So I think it's his fantasy performance directly correlates to how much they give Baker and how much they trust him to evolve with the offense. So I think it might be too early to drop him, but I don't think he deserves a spot in the starting lineup at this point, just because they haven't shown that they can utilize him too much yet.
Fair enough.
Carlos Hyde, I think, is a good option. He's becoming more and more of a the lead guy there in Cleveland, so I think he's going to definitely benefit fantasy-wise for that role. But I'd still consider him a low-end RB2 right now, maybe a flex player.
Mm-hmm.
Next game.
Go ahead.
Seattle versus the Raiders in London.
Ooh, there's an international game this week.
There is, and it's at 1.
Ooh,
it's
fancy.
It's at 1 p.m. East Coast, which means it's at, what, 6 p.m. over there?
No,
they have
6 hours ahead, so
I think they're 5, aren't they?
Yeah, it's there's 5
so
hours
ahead.
Yeah,
it's 6 p.m. over there. They have, an evening game, like a Super Bowl time slot game.
Prime time.
2-3 Gotta Seahawks, 1-4 Raiders. Super disappointing John Gruden. I tell you what, man, I really expected more out of this guy. I thought he was going to be a big man, this guy.
I'll tell you what, I'm at a loss for words. I'm never at a loss for words.
I'll tell you what, I always got something to say.
I think one of the bigger surprises is Marshawn Lynch is like a legit RB2
this year.
Yeah,
he's done his
best
since he's been back in
the did not see that coming.
Except, last week went on the 2-yard line instead of giving it to Marshawn.
Oh, yeah.
David Carr decided to throw the ball and threw an interception in the end zone. Where have we heard that before?
Derek Carr.
Did I say David?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, man, not his older brother. I meant Derek. Derek's the better brother. But anyway.
But was that his decision or was that the original play call?
It doesn't. I mean, if Gruden called that, that's even worse.
I'll tell you what, Derek.
I'll tell you what, man.
You should throw the ball here.
I'll tell you what. We put the car in reverse, man. Guys.
One step forward, two steps back.
I tried to put it in neutral, man. We put it in reverse. We were backing up. It was crazy, man. It was wild.
Yeah.
Anyway, regardless, where have we heard that before? Where Marshawn Lynch doesn't get the ball on the goal line and an interception gets thrown in the end zone.
Yeah, we know.
That's ridiculous.
Bigger question, I'd say here. Jordy Nelson, he's put together a few good weeks in a row.
Trending upward right now.
A few good
trending
weeks in a row.
Up.
He had 14 points last week.
I haven't started him the past couple weeks.
I can understand that.
I've been wary of him.
But even in his big games, he's gotten 6 in that 29-point game, 5 catches, and 4 catches. So his games, he really hasn't gotten that many, like, actual catches. He's
after
just doing a lot with
since
them.
Since week three, he's 9th among receivers in fantasy points from week 4 and beyond.
Yeah.
I would give him a flex play this week against Seattle. There is no more Legion of Boom. They're all gone.
Yeah. You can't see right now, but
yeah.
I'm flipping you
I'm
off.
I'm just worried about the
just
whole...
Just like Earl Thomas.
The whole Raiders offense just scares me because they're so inconsistent. Like, I think it's weird that the only consistent part is Marshawn Lynch. Like, you look at his game scores as far as fantasy, and he's hovered right around that 13, 14-point range every week. But then you have, like, Amari Cooper, who can blow up for 26, but then he can also give you a 4-point game, and same thing with Jordy. Like, and Derek Carr even has, like, these up-and-down games. So the whole offense is just so inconsistent. I just don't like it. I want to stay away from it. But that said, this is a good matchup with Seattle's Legion of Boom being gone. The only
gone.
Remaining players. Yeah, the only remaining players, like Bobby Wagner.
Yep.
And that's
Earl
it.
Thomas is out. So literally the only remaining player from that Super Bowl team is Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, because, I mean, Michael Bennett's gone, Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman, like everyone.
I think that we agree that Marshawn Lynch is kind of a flex player, which...
Yeah, flex or like
RB2.
RB2
I'll give him RB2, sure.
Yeah, I guess RB2, depending on who you got. But this brings up a question that I have. How do you guys feel about starting a running back in the flex position of a PPR league? Where it's at least full-point PPR. We'll go with that.
Depends on the running back. If you think it's somebody...
What about like
a
guy like Marshawn Lynch, who's not necessarily... Say you have...
If it's a full-point PPR league, I mean, it'd be down to like... I'd consider like theoretic in the flex at that point. If it's a full-point PPR league, he's not going to get you a ton of yards, but he catches the ball.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I don't know if I'd put theoretic in that conversation this year. He really hasn't been.
No, maybe not. I meant somebody,
like,
somebody like that. Like a Chris Thompson, like a Darren Sproles, something like that.
Well, Darren Sproles, what are you talking
about?
He hasn't even played this year.
Shut up! You know, I'm categorizing a running back.
I think it also comes down to who the other option is.
Theoretic.
Darren Sproles is still in the league. Theoretic is on bye this week.
If your other flex option.
See what you have to say.
If your other flex option is like a Calvin Ridley, where it's like a super boomer bust, like he could get you those couple touchdowns, or he could get like 2 catches for 28 yards, then it's probably worth going Marshawn because I think his floor is like 12 points. So like Marshawn is not going to deviate too much from that, pretty much. But then if your next best option is like a boom kind of wide receiver, then it might be worth going
Marshawn.
Well,
it's like you said, you gotta figure out. I didn't even think about that. If you have the wide receivers who are just getting a lot of yards in a few catches, you know, because...
Yeah, like the Jordy. Like, Jordy is probably in that category where he could get you 5 catches and it could either be 150 yards or it can be 38 yards.
He was really like that with the Packers, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess sort of, yeah. I mean, him and Rodgers had that, like, supernatural connection where... When the play broke down, like Rodgers would be scrambling around the pocket, and Jordy was
just
there, just
ready
30
to
yards downfield for this huge
zone.
Game. just there. He was like that safety blanket.
Let's go back to the.
But yeah, I don't know if he's.
Let's
at
go back
that point
to the
now.
Matchup that we were looking at, and go to the other side of the ball.
I was going
to
say we have to spend some time on the Seahawks.
Is Tyler Lockett the number one wide receiver in Seattle now?
Until Baldwin's 100% healthy, he is. Once Baldwin's 100% healthy, it's Doug Baldwin.
I don't think Doug Baldwin is going to be 100% healthy. I think coming into this year, he missed most of training camp with a knee issue. I think it was his left knee. I'm not sure. It was a sprain.
All his knees are messed up.
And it didn't look good. And he said, he said coming into the year, like, all right, I'm not going to be 100% at any point this year, but I'm going to do it, and we're just going to make it happen. And then he injured his other knee. And so he already admitted he wasn't going to be 100% at any point this season because of his other knee sprain. And now his other knee is injured, so he's just – all sorts of messed up.
Doug Baldwin last week had one catch on one look. He only got one target last
week.
Okay,
but he also played 88% of the snaps, and he was against the Rams, who have a really solid defense.
Their cornerbacks were injured last week, though.
Okay, their pass rush wasn't.
Both of their cornerbacks. Okay,
their pass rush wasn't.
I'll give you that. The Rams have a really good defense.
And the Seahawks ran the ball
but
into
still,
the ground,
I mean,
too.
Tyler Lockett had an 18-point performance. Let's see, do they have any other wide receivers do well? Not really.
I couldn't even.
Oh yeah, they had
on their team.
David Moore that get 18 points as well.
I don't know who that is,
but either way, I mean, guys are getting the ball still, even against a good defense. It's just
okay. You're still locking down number one.
I mean, I'm a Doug Baldwin owner, so I'm definitely a believer. I believe that he will come around, and I think that he's still the number one wide receiver in Seattle this year. I think that as every week goes on, as long as he doesn't suffer any setbacks with his injury, he's going to be... This week, he's getting more looks. He is getting more looks. He will catch the ball more than once this week. So,
Russell Wilson, still a must-start at quarterback?
No.
No?
He is not. I have Russell Wilson in the league. I'm trying to remember who my quarterback is that I'm... I think I'm starting over him. That's the league I'm trying to trade for Tom Brady, because the owner has Patrick Mahomes as well. But no, I'm ready to move on from Russell Wilson.
I mean, Russell Wilson put up 21.5 points last week.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson hasn't had he's had one game where he had 10.6. Other than that, his lowest total was 16.7 in week 2.
But what scares me the most about Russell Wilson is what made him so good in fantasy in the past years is has been his ability to run the ball and run for touchdowns and run and get yards, really. He's been the team's leader in rushing yards a lot of games. He's not rushing the ball at all this year.
He hasn't been rushing, but
yeah,
look
looking
at
his
passing
stats,
touchdown total.
He only has his high
three,
this week.
Three passing touchdowns
yards.
In week 1, 2 in week 2, 2 in week 3, 3 in week 5.
Okay, my problem with Russell Wilson is a lot of his points come in the fourth quarter as well. He's one of those quarterbacks where...
Okay, does that matter if he still gets the points? As a fantasy owner, does that matter to you?
Do you really rely on a guy who's doing nothing until the final minute of garbage time in the game?
Garbage time heroes win fantasy football games.
Period. I do not ever start a guy based off of their garbage time potential. You can't count on garbage time.
W is a W is a W.
Anyway.
But I think, yeah.
But yeah, like you were saying about his rushing ability, I mean,
he's not running.
Like, looking at his games, this past game versus the Rams, he had 0 attempts for 0 yards.
That's
the game
just
before
not
that
much.
Was his season high of 21 yards. So he's not rushing. He has 0 touchdowns. His game high is 21 yards. Week 3 against Dallas, he had 2 attempts for minus 1 yards. So he's just not rushing and providing that extra value that, like,
he wasn't able to rush against the Rams because the Rams front 7 kept him in check.
Yeah, but all year, though, look at all the other games he played. He didn't rush in any of them. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's just not rushing.
His rushing totals have been significantly lower than what they've ever been. I will not doubt you there. I'm just saying, using last week in his example, saying he rushed 0 times for 0 yards, it's a bad example because he was playing the Rams defense.
All right, but either way, the point is, I'm scared of Russell Wilson, and I'm somebody who I think I drafted him as one of the top 5 quarterbacks.
I'm not scared of him yet because I'm still enjoying his point totals.
We'll see.
Once he starts trending downward, then I'll be scared. But he hasn't trended downward yet, other than week 4 where he got 10 points. Now he had one hiccup, and he was back up to 21 points last week. So I'm still on Russell Wilson's side here. All right, we are going real slow. We are only through 4 games, and we got a lot more to go. So we got to pick the pace up on this.
We might not get through all of them, but we'll get through as many as we can.
Bears Dolphins 3-1, 3-2. Bears. Are we starting Mitch Trubisky as a fantasy quarterback yet?
No. Again, he's one of those quarterbacks who I feel like is in that range where, unless you have a quarterback on bye who's a top quarterback, you probably have a better quarterback on your roster. You've got better options.
Or if he gets a good matchup like he had last time. Last time he played Tampa Bay and just shredded.
I think the bigger question on Chicago is the running back, Jordan Howard.
It's Tariq Cohen. Jordan Howard's on his way out. It's Tariq Cohen.
I think, Tariq Cohen is, he has more points this year than Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard, a lot of people draft him to be their number one.
Right, Jordan Howard's on his way out. It is going to be Tariq Cohen's show.
Unfortunate.
Trey Burton is a definite must-start tight end if you own Trey Burton. He is...
Yeah, it's just such a thin position. He has to
quickly becoming Mitch's favorite target.
He's a number 11th ranked tight end, and that's he had a bye week already. Yeah. That's definitely good. Trey Burton.
Allen Robinson is doing classic Allen Robinson.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah, but he went from, like, I think it was week two, he had like 10 catches or something for like 80 yards, and then the last time out in that huge high scoring affair, he only had 2 catches for like 25 yards, and
Oakland.
One of them happened to be
this
a touchdown.
This is classic Allen Robinson,
right?
Oh, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Except for 2015,
I'd like to have him on my team.
I think he had like 15 touchdowns or something.
That guy named Robinson out there. We got Allen in a car with Robinson. I'll tell you what.
I hope he's not robbing my son.
Better not be lynching. Sure. Get it, Marshawn.
God.
I'll tell you what, I cracked myself up, man.
Jason, you're the only one on topic. What are you saying?
I was just saying, like, I don't know what to make of that whole dynamic with him and Trubisky, because he can go from getting a ton of targets one game to getting, like, nothing the next game, to getting the touchdown look and then getting nothing. And so I don't know what's going on.
Do we
want to
put him in the Blake Bortles category?
I don't know. I mean, he might be, but... It's a weird offense because they have a couple different options at wide receiver, and then they have Trey Burton, and then they have Tariq Cohen. So it's like, it's almost like there's too many mouths to feed and not a good enough quarterback to feed all of them.
Who is in the Blake Bortles category, though? The other side of the ball, Ryan Tannehill.
Oh,
except
I don't think he really has many boom weeks. He might have had like one or two of the first two games of the season, but
he
did
when he had Jarvis Landry.
Yeah.
Who else did he have there? He had Jarvis Landry and somebody else.
Wait, before we go to Miami, I just want to go back to the Bears real quick. I think another good sleeper option right now is Taylor Gabriel.
Yes.
I believe that I just picked him up in a league where it's a 12-team league, so he's still available in a lot of leagues, and I think that if Allen Robinson's not the guy there, it's got to be Taylor Gabriel. He's the next best wide receiver that they have. So I think that he might have a little chemistry going with
Mitchell.
Trubisky over there. So
he doesn't want to be
Mitch.
He doesn't want to be Mitch anymore. He says he's grown in maturity. He wants to be Mitchell.
Oh, no, he's Trubisky. That's all he's known by.
Seriously, no, that was a thing. When he got drafted, he said, I want to be known by Mitchell. Mitchell Trubisky.
I want to be known by
Nick. Mitch. Still a bitch, Mitch.
Well, also, here's a question for you guys. Are the Bears D a must-start
every
week? Yes.
You kidding me? They're the number one fantasy
defense. Are they a matchup?
I don't.
Yeah, are they?
Literally, Khalil Mack could go out by himself, like 11-1, and I'd still start the Bears defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I think, honestly, they've reached the tier, and it's as much as it pains me to say, like, because I hate the Bears, but I think they've reached that tier of, like, you could put them up against, like, the Chiefs offense or the Saints offense, and I still might start them.
Can we skip talking about the Dolphins? I don't think there's anything worth
talking about.
There's
literally
the
nothing worth talking about with that team.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kenyon Drake,
nope.
Devontae Parker, nope. Albert Wilson, nope.
You roster them, but don't even start them.
Yeah, you can roster people. Don't even think about starting any Dolphins player.
Yeah, Kenyon Drake was a one-hit wonder that was useless because everyone had him on their bench.
He did have
23
points last week.
It's not going to happen again.
But I'm still not believing in it. I wouldn't start any player. Mm-hmm. Moving on. Next matchup that we got is Minnesota Vikings and the Arizona Cardinals. One that you would think will be pretty... aside from fantasy, pretty one-sided. It's going to be a lopsided affair. It's in Minnesota as well.
Yeah, Minnesota's going to dominate the Cardinals.
So you got to consider that when you're thinking about fantasy.
No one in Arizona. I honestly, there's other than Larry Fitzgerald, I think he's probably... Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson are the only two I'd consider even rostering.
Yeah, rostering.
David,
not even starting.
Yeah, David Johnson is a must-start just because you figure with Rosen under center. Yeah, he'll get his looks in the passing offense now that Bradford's out of there. So David Johnson, even if they're down, they'll still throw him the ball. and he'll rush for however long they're within two scores or something. But yeah, outside of David Johnson, there's nothing on the Cardinals.
What do you make of Dalvin Cook at this point?
It's unfortunate. He's getting into that Leonard Fournette territory where he's a talented guy, and like you see the potential, and he's in that really good offense that could benefit from having him, and he could benefit from having a good offense around him. Because, I mean, if you have Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen and Kyle Rudolph, and you have Kirk Cousins slinging
like the
ball,
Kansas City Chiefs.
I could see, but I'm saying as far as benefiting Dalvin Cook, the amount of times he would face an 8-man stack box would be like 0%.
Yeah, I think.
Like, no one would stack the box. Unless it's, like, a third and short scenario, like, no one would stack the box against the Vikings, which would just open up so many holes for Dalvin Cook, which, I mean, he just can't take advantage of because he's
not on the field. I think that with Dalvin Cook being hurt, Latavius Murray is somebody who I expected to be a lot better than he has been in this league guy's absence. I think that T.J. Yeldon, you make the Fournette-Dalvin Cook comparison, I think that's a really good comparison. T.J. Yeldon has been more of a surprise as somebody who's stepping up. But yeah, Latavius Murray, I would not start him at this point, even with Dalvin Cook out.
No.
That could benefit
Dalvin
Cook,
though. You
could go the
James Conner. You could go the Conner route in Pittsburgh, too. Same thing. I mean, he was a backup who got put into a really good offense. Like, good offensive. Yeah, like a good offensive situation and produced. Probably not as good as the starter would, but still produced. But yeah, Murray's coming in and just can't get anything going.
He's another one of those quarterbacks that if he's on your team, you should be starting him, no matter who your backup quarterback is.
Yeah, at this point, I would agree.
He's just got too many people to throw
the
ball to.
That offense is tampered around him throwing the football. You're in good shape there. All right, moving on.
Who are they playing against?
Who?
The Vikings.
Oh, the Cardinals. We already said.
David
Johnson's the
another
only guy
team
to start.
Not worth spending too much time on.
David Johnson's the only guy to start. Other than that, Larry Fitzgerald's the only other guy to roster. Colts, Jets. Yikes.
Yuck.
Indy's got a lot of players out, just so you know. I think T.Y. Hilton was ruled out. Jack Doyle's ruled out.
Yeah,
so.
Luck and Jack Doyle.
Eric Ebron, definitely a must start if you.
Yeah.
Even Ebron was limited
still,
in practice, too.
He's the only, like, known option that they go to consistently there, so.
I mean, I'm starting Nyheim Hines because
your team sucks.
There are so many other
bye weeks.
Well, and also because Andrew Luck is on pace right now to break the single-season passing attempt record. And
see, passing attempt
record. Because T.Y. Hilton is out.
That's not necessarily a great record
to
own. It's the passing for not being known for.
There's so many. But I'm saying when you have that pace to break the passing attempt record, that means he's throwing it like 50 times a game, and he's got to throw it to someone. So Nyheim Hines could benefit a lot by getting a lot of passes out of the backfield.
Okay, if Luck is throwing it 50 times a game, he's also a hell of a lot more likely to get hurt.
That's true.
At least he's not running it on those plays.
Just one more injury, Luck is just done forever.
Yeah, I think his injuries have come from passing plays, though, for the most part, with his shoulder and everything.
Oh, yeah, because it's his shoulder. And it was such a weird injury last year, too. Like, I think I mentioned it on this podcast where, like, coming into training camp, it was like, oh, yeah, I'm just kind of sore. I'll just sit out today or something. And then it was like weeks went by, and then it was like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to play in the preseason games, but I'll be good for the regular season. And then the regular season came, and he was like, oh, maybe next week. And then it was just like, all of a sudden, the season was over, and he just never played at all. So it was such a weird injury where, like, no one knew what was happening with his shoulder, really, at any point.
On the other side, Jets.
Mm-hmm.
They've got one player who's owned in more than 70% of the leagues, and that's Isaiah Crowell.
Isaiah Crowell,
who just had a franchise record-setting performance. So I think that's kind of
Isaiah Crowell and Bilal Powell are the only two on the Jets I'd consider rostering.
Do you start Isaiah Crowell?
Yeah, Robbie Anderson is too hit or miss.
Performance his 200 plus yard game.
The Bilal Powell is, you're only getting him in a PPR league.
Yeah.
But
Crowell's done significantly better. I would consider even just dropping, not dropping Powell, but.
In a PPR league on a bye week where you're screwed for running back, he's not a terrible start.
Yeah. Let's not talk about the Jets. There's nothing to
gain from the Jets. Panthers, Redskins. There is some interesting things to be said there.
Josh Norman versus his old team.
I think Cam Newton is one of those quarterbacks you always start.
Yeah, I mean, just for his rushing, for sure. Again, he's one of the rushers that once you get the ball down within the 3-yard line, you always got to be watching out for Cam Newton just punching it in.
I think Christian McCaffrey is a always start RB1.
Obviously.
Yeah, he's a matchup-proof guy at this point, for sure.
Definitely PPR league.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as the Panthers go, Greg Olsen though, is an interesting question there.
Yeah.
How's he done this year? I really haven't. He got hurt at one point, didn't he?
Week one. Yeah, like right away he got hurt. I actually drafted him, so I dropped him because I already had Kyle Rudolph anyway.
I think
he
came back a lot sooner than everybody was really expecting.
He did, yeah. But I think it's just
he was on crutches,
it's the
on
same
the
foot that he had a problem with last year.
Didn't he fracture?
Yeah,
I thought he was going to be done for the season.
Yeah, it seemed like a really awful injury. Yeah. But
and it's the same foot that he had an issue with last year too. So I'm staying away from all Greg Olsen. I mean, he might have a good game this week and he might have a good game next week, but I think it's only a matter of time before he injures it again.
But
unfortunately,
the thing is, he's that position tight end where there's really not that many out there. So he's looking a lot better than.
It's true. You might be desperate.
Even an injury-prone, injury coming back from injury, Greg Olsen, I think he's looking better than a lot of the options out there. So.
Anyone else in the Panthers you guys would start?
Mm.
I don't think so.
None of the wide receivers.
Graham Gano can
screw Greg
off.
Olsen coming back. Yeah, Greg Olsen coming back just takes away from Devin Funchess.
Kickers in this.
Yeah, but
kickers are
wanted,
tossing.
I just wanted to tell Graham Gano to screw off.
Redskins.
Adrian
Peterson.
You mean the Washington injury reports? Because that's what their entire offense is on.
What is Washington football team.
Yeah, no, the Washington Redskins are all on the injury report and are all game-time decisions. Literally, their top three wide receivers and both of their running backs. Jordan Reed is the only one who's not on the injury report.
Well, yeah, that's surprising.
Now, how are we on the Adrian Peterson versus Chris Thompson train?
Again, this is one that I feel like I've said this before. You need to look at the matchup and you need to play according to the matchup. If you think that the Redskins are going to be winning in the game, then you play Adrian Peterson because the ground and pound is going to be how they run it. But if they're going to be down, which I'm starting to believe is going to be the case in most games, I think Chris
Thompson. Especially the Panthers.
Yeah, I think Chris Thompson will be the guy for the most part. But again, you need to look at the matchup.
I think Chris Thompson you can start no matter what the matchup is, because if it looks like they're going to be leading, then he might be the one who helped them lead in the first place. Like, he might be the one catching the screen passes in the first quarter. And then if they're trailing, he'll be the one catching the screen passes in the fourth quarter. So I think he's going to get the ball either way. But Adrian Peterson, you're absolutely right. If they're going to be losing, then he just evaporates from the game. Like last week.
I will say, though.
I mean, granted, I think he left with an injury.
I do have Chris Thompson on a couple teams, and I did not draft him to be one of my top two running backs. So he's for those teams, he's trying to make the flex argument. So he's I got lucky, I guess. I don't think most people who have him on their team drafted him or have him as their top two running backs. But again, in a PPR league, he's definitely a flex candidate.
Yep.
What's next?
So, we just hit an hour, but we still have six games to go, and they're all the games. There's so much to talk about. Starting with Bills-Texans. Not much to be said on the part of the Bills.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a tough one to go into with a lot to talk about.
Yeah, free LeSean McCoy.
Right.
Free Shady.
Free Shady, just let him go.
Shady's an RB2.
It's like that.
You hope he ends up in Philly.
Houston side. Here's the question. Will Fuller did not put up numbers this week.
Yeah, Will Fuller or Kiki Kuti?
He was practically absent after some fantastic performances over the past few weeks.
I never believed in Will Fuller, man. He's one of those guys that we were talking about. He relies on 3 catches for 100 yards a game.
Okay, but he's pretty good at doing it.
I don't trust those receivers.
Yeah, I think at this point the sample size was big enough that he could do it.
You're right. He's probably one of the better people at it, but in general, I am scared of those people who you rely on one play.
Yeah, it's tough to rely on.
You rely on one play happening. Yeah.
He had 3 weeks in a row where he had a touchdown, and then last week he had 2 catches for 15 yards. So there's the. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins must start. Deshaun Watson must start.
Running backs, nope. I don't want any part of Lamar Miller or Alfred Blake.
I don't like either. I mean, even Shady, I don't really like him right now.
No, yeah, I haven't benched. No. This will be the second, maybe third week in a row I've benched Shady. I mean.
Yeah, Shady, you can start him because Buffalo is not going to be ahead in many games. And even when they were, like, I think they were leading Minnesota most of the game that they played them. And even then, he got, like, maybe two carries, like, a couple carries. He was not.
And they rely on him, too, which is the sad part because he's really the only good thing about their offense is LeSean McCoy.
Good thing about their team.
Yeah. Maybe
period.
Maybe he'll leave at halftime.
Bills Mafia. Just jump through a whole bunch of tables, Shady. It'll work. Rams Broncos.
Ooh.
There is.
Start all the Rams.
I mean.
What about the concussion wide receivers that are both looking like they're going to?
It looks
play?
Like both of them are coming
playing,
back fine.
Start them. I mean, literally all three.
Honestly,
Rams
I think
wide receivers right now. Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks, and Robert Woods.
You're not scared of those concussions for either of those guys?
No, if they're
Brandon
playing,
Cooks scares me a little bit.
Yeah, it looks like they're practicing. I mean, you remember last year, Devontae Adams had the same thing. He got laid out on a nasty-looking hit, and he ended up playing that next week and scored a touchdown and had a great rest of the regular season. But I think the bigger factor for any of the wide receivers in this one is it's supposed to snow a lot on Sunday.
Was it a lot?
No.
I thought it was a chance of snow.
It's supposed to snow?
Yeah it's supposed
I
to snow,
it was
isn't
a
it?
Chance
tomorrow.
Of snow, though.
It's October 13th. Stop!
I know. I don't know if it's supposed to snow during the game, but there is supposed to be snow, so it'll be cold. So I don't know if you can count on any of the Denver wide receivers because Case Keenum is not the answer. He's just a shell. I feel bad because like I want the guy to succeed because he's been like on this roller coaster journey, but like last year was an anomaly. He is.
No,
he was.
Rode
He's
the Vikings defense to the NFC Championship game.
He did, yeah, and he had a good offense and a good scheme and everything, and. I mean, good for him. He turned that into a big contract, but he's not the answer in Denver. So I think if there's, if there's the cold weather, like I don't think you start Sanders or Thomas this week.
Yeah, here's three. I got mad as a Demaryius Thomas owner. I got mad about 2 weeks ago when I benched him last week, and it came back to bite me.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, I think it's probably just stemming from the fact that you were in a tight battle with your brother. And you needed like 0.4 points to win the game or something. And Keenum overthrew him at the end.
We talked about that last week. You weren't here for that, but
I wish you guys could have like watched this matchup unfold live because it was like Monday night.
Unbelievable.
I just wish you two could have been in the same room.
I wish you guys were both in the
like,
chat. Neither
recording
of you guys
that
were here.
During that final
drive. I was actually flying. I saw the last.
Oh my god.
30, 45 seconds of game time, so I was able to see it as it happened, and I was in amazement.
I think the one question that we really have from this matchup, though, is will Todd Gurley score 3 or 4 touchdowns?
Seven.
Seven?
Seven.
Yeah, he's...
I'd say seven's a good
number. I was telling these guys before we started recording, I think Todd Gurley might be on a LaDainian Tomlinson
pace. Amazing.
Maybe not score the same amount of touchdowns, but
the
just
Reds
this guy... is absurd. He might average 30 fantasy points a week the entire season. I wouldn't doubt it at all.
He's averaging 27 right now.
Because even the week that Jared Goff threw 5 touchdowns and he had a couple to Robert Woods and he had one to Brandon Cooks and he was the star of the show. Even that week, the Thursday night game against I forget who it was against, but even that week, Gurley still had like 25 or 27 points.
His lowest point total is week 1, 22 points.
Good lord.
Yeah.
Right. Well, let's keep going. We're almost through it. Jaguars, Cowboys.
Blake Bortles.
You start every single Jaguar you got.
Really?
Against the Cowboys?
But they don't have that many like options that are like they're not like the Rams or the Vikings.
I mean, you're starting
How many Jaguars?
Yeah, you're starting
how many
Yeldon.
You actually own? I'm
maybe
talking about
Keelan
the ones
Cole.
That you actually considered roster.
TJ Yeldon's the only one who I'm starting.
Yeah, maybe Keelan Cole.
I have Keelan Cole.
I would consider
Jaguars.
Starting Bortles against the Cowboys defense.
Okay, he's not even owned in
Man.
In this league.
He's not even owned. That's a rough one, Bortles Park. But
Jaguars defense will start them.
Oh, you'll definitely start the Jaguars defense against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Maybe one or two pick sixes.
Honestly, the only guy on Dallas that I'd even consider roster, and this is bias aside,
Dez Bryant.
The only guy I'd consider rostering on Dallas is Zeke. And yeah, you start Zeke.
Obviously.
But
sure.
I don't roster Dak. I don't roster any of their half-rate wide receivers.
Yeah, Allen Hurns is the top of them, and he's not
exactly.
even close to being rostered.
There's no one on that team.
Like, let me look at scoring
you definitely
leaders.
Definitely start their defense.
The
they suck.
Let me go way down the list and try and find a Dallas wide receiver. But I mean, they're not even close.
I will say, this week for Keelan Cole, for me, it's gonna be a make or break week. I own him in a couple leagues, and
I think Keelan Cole's a start against a Dallas defense.
I have him starting in one where it's a lot of wide receivers. But if he doesn't do well this week and gets, like, another two-catch game, I'm getting ready to drop Keelan Cole. I thought that he was...
I thought he was going to be the guy.
I thought he was, too. He looked like it coming out
of the
gate.
Yeah, the thing with the Jacksonville receivers is it's weird because Keelan Cole might have a big week, and then next week it'll be D.D. Westbrook, and then the next week it'll be Dante Moncrief. So there's, like,
I don't believe
the
Dante
three guys.
No,
and I think all three of them are owned in, like, less than 50% of leagues. But, like, all of them have had... Yeah, it's just like, who is it going to be this week?
Well, their problem
you never
is
know.
They're reliant on Blake Bortles in it. Blake Bortles is the leader of our Blake Bortles
We've
list.
Gotten to the point of the show where Nick is talking with his hands. You guys can't see it, but Nick is starting to talk with his hands.
This is Blake Bortles.
So we're going to move forward. Ravens, Titans. I
got nothing. I mean, Joe Flacco, no. Alex Collins, no, because he keeps fumbling. Buck Allen, maybe, because he gets the goal line work. Michael Crabtree, no. You look at the Titans, Deion Lewis, no. Derrick Henry, no. Mariota,
maybe
if you're hurting. Corey Davis, just because he gets a bunch of targets.
This is a game where I'm taking the under.
That's it.
I'm taking the under
on
this game.
Yeah, I don't
see
Corey,
anything from this game.
I roster Corey Davis. I don't start him.
Yeah.
I can't trust Corey. Corey Davis had his first touchdown catch 2 weeks ago against the Eagles.
Yeah, true. I think with him, though, the only thing you're thinking is he's the only option on that offense, so he's going to get all the targets. But, yeah, it's not a strong start by any stretch of the imagination.
Let's avoid that, those two teams.
All right, Chiefs-Patriots.
The NFL game of the week, I believe.
Sunday night football.
Oh, I'm
football.
Excited for this. This is going to be an offensive
Kansas
showdown.
Kansas City, they had Jacksonville last week, and they made them look silly. Now they got the Patriots. They got a lot of good tests. So this, if they come out with a win here, they're
Andy is
clear favorites, I think.
Andy is doing something out there.
Mm. He's mixing that Kool-Aid.
Mahomes is a starter.
he's a matchup-proof quarterback
Hill
at this point.
He's a starter.
Kevin might do. I will say, though, I looked at it. All three of the wide receivers he was considering, like, all scored between 6 and 7 points. So that's, like, all within 1.0 points. So didn't really matter what he did. Mm-hmm. But, again, Tyreek Hill, start him. Don't get silly.
Yeah. I mean, he can go out there and give you a 2 catches for 30 yards kind of thing. But, like, you just got to take the game. Like, even if he does, you're like, all right, well, there was just as likely of a chance of him blowing up for 28 points. So, like, you got to just take the gamble and throw him in there.
Sammy Watkins, I think, is the only one who you're thinking about benching, maybe. But
Travis Kelce is an instant starter. He's number number one right now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Everybody's
number
calling
one.
Him the best tight end in the NFL today. I think that's what people are...
But you should maybe look at Zach Ertz's stats right now.
Okay, well, I think Gronk is the one that everybody's like, oh, my God, how can you say
if
that?
We're looking at this year. You guys can say what you want, but you guys should take a look at Zach Ertz's stats through 6 games.
The Eagles are very good at using him. I will give you that.
He is in a great scenario for him, but that being said, Ertz's numbers are phenomenal right now.
I put him above.
And he catches everything. He doesn't drop anything.
But either way, I think that Kelsey's definitely been the guy that everybody this year has
Kelsey's
kind of been talking
start.
About being the number one guy.
Mm-hmm. This is a fantasy
number
football podcast.
End.
I'm biased for Ertz, but Kelce is a must start. His brother Jason.
Is he the number one tight end in the league, though? Try and take your bias out of this one.
Did you slide that? Did I slide that one? I said his brother Jason's better.
Yeah, at a completely different job, but that's right. I did like, I will say that they interviewed Travis before I think the Jacksonville game. They're like, do you think you could ever give a speech like that? And mind you, Travis Kelce is the vocal one in that family. He's the one who's very personality, Mr. Personality. He admitted he doesn't think he can replicate
what
Jason Kelce
did. I don't think anybody could ever replicate anything. That was the most unexpected, absurd,
from
out
an
of
offensive
control,
lineman.
Amazing speech.
Oh, yeah. I think it was just the fact that no one saw it coming. Like, Hungy, you and I were standing there in the crowd, and he was maybe like 7th or 8th on the list of speakers.
He was literally
like
last.
Alshon come up first.
He was like last on the list of speakers.
They had Wentz, they had Foles, they had everyone. And then all of a sudden, Jason Kelce comes up there in
his
badass
suit.
Costume. And just,
if you're listening,
oh
to this
my
podcast,
God, just started reeling it off.
Is. Which probably, if you're not from the Philadelphia area, you're not going to know what a mummer is. But if you don't know what a mummer is, please go ahead and just look up a mummer. Like, search YouTube for mummer parade.
It's literally just a drunk Philadelphian that looks like they're from New Orleans.
But significantly drunker.
The greatest part about his speech, though.
Really doesn't know what they're doing, but can also play musical instruments most of the time.
And just walking down Broad Street, you know. But the greatest part about his speech was he started off restrained, too. Like, at one point, he was like, he said the word freaking.
Yeah, he said freaking, and then he gave up on that.
And then he started off restrained, and then at that point, like, he just reached this point where he was just like, you know what, I'm going in. It was like, if I don't eat any breakfast,
that
I'm fucking pissed off.
Well, then, once he started singing the
no one likes
no
us,
one likes
we don't
us.
Care.
Yeah, that's when he knew
it
was
coming.
Oh, yeah. It was like, all right.
You could just tell, like, he started off restrained, and then at a certain point was like, nah, I'm just going
to
go for it.
All right, let's get back to
Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce is the number one fantasy tight end right now.
Everybody in Kansas City, you're starting their entire offense.
Yeah,
pretty much.
New England, if you haven't dropped Chris Hogan yet, Hammy, it's time for you to drop Chris Hogan.
Also, Gronk is getting to that section where I think you might want to drop him, too.
Maybe not. I don't think you drop Gronk.
Just kidding. But he has been pretty disappointing.
Well, maybe this week, though, Kansas City has such a bad defense that it's looking like it'll be like a 38-33 kind of game. So, like, I think you start all the Patriots. You start all the
you know
the
who
Chiefs.
You should
like,
definitely start?
I think you start Sonny Michel.
James
you start
White.
James
yeah.
White. You start Gronk. Yeah,
I
you start Josh Gordon even.
Yet.
You start Edelman.
I am not going to admit defeat yet. Patriots running backs are so
Michel looked good. Well, I think the problem with Patriots running backs in the past is they've always had like three or four of them. But this year,
two.
With Burkhead going down, it's just two. And it's two completely different styles of
running
back.
He's going to sign somebody that doesn't matter, and then all of a sudden, boom, that guy's going to get 60,000 carries.
I'm pretty certain James White leads their team in receptions.
I'm literally just spewing nonsense at this point.
I would not doubt that at all.
I know you're spewing nonsense, and that's what I'm talking over.
Start Josh Gordon or not?
Start him?
Yeah, I would start Josh Gordon.
Don't start him.
Yeah. Against the Chiefs, the Chiefs have a bad defense, and the Chiefs are going to put up points, so the Patriots will have to replicate. So I think Tom Brady's just going to have – I think it's going to be one of those games where Brady and Mahomes will both have, like, 45 attempts.
With Julian Edelman being back, Josh Gordon has 5 catches all year. 5 catches the entire season.
Yeah, but he's gotten a couple more weeks to get down the playbook, too, and he's the red zone option.
One of those catches
Gronk
was a touchdown
struggling.
Last week.
Yeah, cool. That's great.
Okay.
If he's a one-trick pony.
I say start Josh Gordon.
Touchdowns are points in fantasy.
Yeah, but he's not one of those guys like Calvin Ridley who's getting an 80-yard touchdown.
It's just going to take some time to build a relationship between Brady and Gordon.
I'm not starting him yet. I think that you've got Edelman, Gronk, and James White getting a bulk of the catches there.
I think he's a fringe flex play. I'm going to put him in a fringe flex play. If you were in a jam at flex... Josh Gordon is a fringe flex play against a very weak Kansas City secondary.
Definitely better than Chris Hogan, I'll give you that.
Oh, Chris Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Hogan is not rosterable anymore. It's time to drop Chris Hogan.
No.
I think in a normal matchup, Josh Gordon wouldn't be a start. Like, I think he'd be a top-of-the-line bench player. But in this matchup, because both teams are going to be passing so much, I would take Josh Gordon.
Final matchup. Niners-Packers, Monday night. As far as the Niners go, Breida's not playing, so Jerick McKinnon?
No. Jerick McKinnon has a torn ACL.
No, it's Alfred Morris.
Torn ACL. Alfred Morris.
Yeah, Alfred Morris is definitely getting the boost there. Yeah. I think if you're having any issues with buys or injuries, Alfred Morris is definitely a good go-to pickup.
Matt Breida has improved from...
Yeah. For this week.
Doubtful to questionable. Just saying.
I don't think he's going to be playing.
Yeah, I mean, here's the dilemma I've been going through is I have Alfred Morris. I picked him up like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm honestly considering starting him over Jordan Howard. And it's crazy because I drafted Jordan Howard in the third round. But at this point, I guess...
I think
after like week three. Jason. Yeah, I think the fantasy kind of like thing that holds a lot of people back is they still hold that draft position in their minds. So like Chris Hogan, a lot of people drafted him in like a fourth or fifth round or something. So a lot of people are hesitant to drop him because they're like, oh, I used such a high draft pick. But I think once you get past like week four, draft position doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
I'm at that point where I'm like, I don't know if I can start Jordan Howard anymore. And especially with Alfred Morris coming in, and he's going to get all of the carries because there is no Matt Breida. You have Kyle Juszczyk
or something, he's more of a fullback.
Yeah, but he's more of a fullback, and like he's been a receiving back out of this. But so yeah, I might throw in Alfred Morris.
I would really consider from this team. Their offense is just not proved to be
George Kittle though.
Yeah, I mean, with the
George
tight
Kittle's
end issue
been quarterback
that we've been talking about again and again, I could see you starting George Kittle.
I mean, he's connected with C.J. Beathard. The past two games, George Kittle's – you haven't – like, if you look at George Kittle's season line, you wouldn't have even noticed that the quarterback changed because he's been solid the whole year.
He's a good option, especially for the 10 tight ends.
All right.
But Alfred Morris, I think he's definitely going to be somebody who's underrated. He might be getting 15-plus points this week, so watch out for him.
Now, do you start anybody from the Packers running back circus?
Not this week.
I wouldn't.
Not until
– no. Because there's no way of knowing – like – Aaron Jones could rip off a 35-yard touchdown, but, like, you just can't count on that. Like, that's a dangerous way to live. Like, you can't count on that long touchdown. And then Jamal Williams, he'll get his work in the passing situations and stuff. And then Ty Montgomery will get receiving. Like, it's just so split down
now,
the middle three ways that I wouldn't trust
anyone. I find
it
interesting that you immediately went to, no, you're not going to start Aaron Jones this week because
you
offered to trade me Aaron Jones this past week. Yes.
Me? I don't have Aaron Jones.
Yes, you do. You offered to trade me Aaron Jones.
No, I don't.
Somebody did that.
Oh, who do
I
you
have?
You tried to trade me a Packers running back.
I don't have any Packers running backs.
I will agree with you, Jason, though. I think that Aaron Jones will become the lead guy in Green Bay, but at this point, you can't trust it.
Or Nick, was that you?
Was it me? I don't think I offered any trades in our league this week.
You offered... Both of you offered me a trade this past week. I turned both of them down.
I offered you some sort of Le'Veon.
One of
trade,
you included a Packers running back. I
don't think so.
Yes, it was Nick. You offered me Aaron Jones. Jason, yours was a much better offer than Nick's. Jason, yours I considered. Nick's, I did not. You offered me Aaron Jones along with another package for Antonio Brown. Both of you tried to trade for Antonio Brown.
Nick has been trying to turn garbage into gold
for a long time.
Well,
that's what I'm the king of. I'm really
I think the classic, the classic line, though, like last week. So last week, TJ Yeldon was that like big waiver wire pickup that everyone put in a claim for. And so Nick, Wednesday morning rolls around, and it turns out you won and you spent some money on him. And immediately in the group chat, you were like, "All right, who wants to trade for TJ Yeldon?" And we're like,
"Well, I mean,
he had a really good week
after that, so I'm glad I didn't make that trade."
He did, but it was the fact that you picked him up off the waiver wire and immediately tried to sell him.
That's because he's a good
option.
It's
like you were walking down the street and you found a Rolex.
I'm targeting, hey,
I found a Rolex. Do you want to give me your better Rolex?
I'm targeting that Fournette owner, but I'm just letting everybody else know.
Anyway, I just thought it was very funny that we had talked about Packers running backs and starting them, and Nick, sorry, Jason, it was Nick, offered to give me Aaron Jones.
Okay, so I don't remember this trade, but I guarantee you he was not the focal point of the trade.
No, there was other people, but it was not good on my end. Jason's was better, but not good enough for me.
Either way,
well, you'll have to work
forward,
on that.
I've still got the best team in the league, that's all I know.
Moving forward, Packers...
Am I wrong?
Kevin's
is better than mine, Jason? Yeah, go ahead and look at those
teams
again.
You don't have the best team in the league. Technically, Pete does because you have the same record and he's got more points for.
Pete's my only competition.
Okay, but you asked, are you have the best team in the league? Statistically, no.
No, but
Pete has a the same record as you, but more points for, so Pete. Yeah,
but I'm better.
And Pete has, like, three number one running backs, so Pete's got...
Until James Conner loses out to Le'Veon.
No, I mean, doesn't he have, like, Melvin Gordon McCaffrey. And Christian McCaffrey and someone
Zeke,
else as well?
Melvin Gordon, Christian McCaffrey, and James Conner.
Yeah, so he's got his RBs yeah, so and his got, flex filled out for the rest of the
that's
year.
That's extremely concerning yeah. and upsetting, and how did this happen?
I don't know. I need to go look yeah, at our so draft he's good to go. And figure out how he ended up with all these guys.
He
Conner,
really,
I get.
I think he kept
McCaffrey
he
was
kept
like a
McCaffrey,
back-end
right?
round two.
I think McCaffrey was his keeper.
Okay, that explains it.
I think he drafted
think so.
Zeke and Gordon.
No,
he kept Gordon.
He kept Gordon.
Okay, then he drafted Zeke and McCaffrey with his first two picks.
Okay.
And then Juju was
did.
The first
yeah.
receiver.
And then he picked
he
up
picked.
Connor.
And then I think he probably took Brady.
Yeah, I respect you, Pete. Your strategy. Mm-hmm. You're usually one of the better teams, so I.
Yeah, so that's a solid team.
Yeah, he's been quietly dominant for
I'm
a
still
couple
definitely
years
better than you though, so sorry.
My team's gonna come around. My team's coming around.
Hungy, you got
I
the
do
pickle
not,
waiting for you.
I do not. I need to win one game and one game only. That is the Hills Have Eyes Bowl. Assuming that I win the Hills Have Eyes Bowl, I will not have the pick bowl. Dale. Okay. So
do we wanna answer some Twitter questions?
Do we have questions?
Yeah, I mean, I can go. We got some fantasy football hashtag.
People are bored with this show at this point.
Nah, man, they need it. They need
yeah,
advice.
If they stuck around this long, then
all right, let's do three questions. Give me three questions.
Okay, Adrian Peterson or Nyheim Hines?
Depends on if it's PPR or not, because Nyheim Hines gets a lot of passes out of the backfield, and AP just.
Okay, if we're sticking true to what we said, and we said AP is matchup based, I don't think that they're going to be ahead against the Packers. They're not going to be running the – or I'm sorry, the Panthers. The Panthers. I don't think that the Redskins are going to be running the ball that much because I think they're going to be behind the Panthers.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like based on matchup, again, I might go with Nyheim Hines. Most weeks I'd probably say AP, but based on matchup, Hines.
Mm-hmm. And just the fact that Nyheim Hines, especially if it's PPR, he gets, I mean, I think he's like in the top six in the league in catches and targets and stuff as far as running backs. Let me look
yeah,
at the
Yeah, I think Nyheim Hines is the move.
The running back position here. Targets. Yeah, Nyheim Hines checks in at number five
well, yeah,
in the league in targets. He's just in between Melvin Gordon, and then he's actually ahead of McCaffrey in targets. So, yeah, I would say Nyheim Hines.
Question number two, Nick.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Tyler Lockett or Calvin Ridley?
Ooh. Well, if you believe that Tyler... Was that a horn in the background, Jason? Get out of
yeah,
the way!
It was...
It's a green light! If you...
Man, you would be surprised the trash trucks that come out here at 5:30 in the morning. Horns ablazing.
If you truly
it is
believe
annoying.
That... Tyler Lockett is the new number one in Seattle.
Even as the number two, though. I feel like I'd go Tyler Lockett over Calvin Ridley this week.
You think so?
Well, actually, they're playing against Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I don't know. In a PPR league, I'm
we
going
already,
with Tyler Lockett.
We already
Lockett.
Said that game is going to be a shootout.
Yeah. But I feel like in a PPR league, I'm going with Tyler Lockett. I think he could get just as many yards, and he could get a lot more catches.
I mean, he's been consistent.
He's been good.
Too.
I think I would say Calvin Ridley because I think that game is truly going to be a shootout. And Doug Baldwin, even though he was, you know, he didn't really, he got one target last week, he still played 88% of the snaps. I think Doug Baldwin starts a rebound week this week. So I don't know if Tyler Lockett's going to get the same kind of production that he got last week.
Mm.
I think I'd go Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley? All right. What did you say, Jason? You said Lockett or Ridley?
I said Lockett. He's just been consistent and solid so
yeah.
far this year. I mean, he doesn't have the – I don't think that Seahawks offense really has the potential for a blow-up game like Ridley has had, but I think Lockett's a pretty safer play at least.
All right, we'll do one more here. Carlos Hyde or Philip Lindsay?
Ooh.
Lindsay against the Rams, by the way.
Oh, then not Lindsay.
Oh, man.
Oh, no, I'm not
– Yeah,
There's two defenses where I don't I don't start RB2s or lower against. You know, RB1, when you've got your every game have to start running back, then you do it no matter what. But the RB2 and below, the RB2 flex running backs, there's two defenses who will never start running back. And I'm not saying this to be biased, but it's the Rams and it's the Eagles. Because both those teams just shut the run down completely.
I'll say Rams. Okay, agree with you.
Now, that being said, Saquon's big plays were screen passes. He had a couple runs, but Saquon's an anomaly, so I don't count Thursday night against the Eagles. Just saying. I just want to clear the air here. Right, Nick?
Okay. It's pretty thick air.
Anyway.
Jason, you got your shot ready?
Oh, I did. You know. Lock and load. Fireball hot take.
Okay, yeah. By the way, before I do this, at Fireball, whatever your Twitter handle is, I'm still waiting on my endorsement checks here.
While he is calling him out and ready, speaking of Twitter, at @PPR_official. Follow and get notifications for our tweets.
Yep.
That'll be good.
We're on Facebook as well. Find us in Fantasy Process Report. Name of the page. We're professional.
Jason?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It gets harder every time.
Okay. So here we go. My omniscient fireball. has informed me that a guy that we actually, I think one of you touched on earlier. What's so funny?
You.
Fair enough. Taylor Gabriel.
I called him.
Because as much as I hate the Bears, I mean, he's looking pretty solid. And I think especially this matchup against the Dolphins, I think a lot of people say that the Dolphins' secondary is looking pretty good with Minkah Fitzpatrick and Xavier Howard. But I think a lot of that will be focused on Allen Robinson and Trey Burton. Like, I think the safety generally looks after the tight end and then the number one corner on Allen Robinson. So that leaves Taylor Gabriel pretty open in the middle of the field. And I think he's developed kind of this chemistry with Trubisky anyway. Like, you look at even before his 7-catch, 104-yard, 2-touchdown game in that Trubisky thrashing against Tampa Bay, before that he had 6 catches. Before that he had 4. Before that he had 5. So, I mean, he's getting his looks in the offense anyway. But now I think he'll get better looks this week with the other guys kind of taken, I guess you could say. So, yeah, I would say Taylor Gabriel. I mean, he's only owned in 31% of leagues. He's only started in 12%. And I think he probably should be in a starting lineup somewhere.
Well, there you go. There's your hot take of the week.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan.
Not a bad hot take.
Yeah. Going against my bias there. But, yeah, I think it's Taylor Gabriel. He's looking solid.
Cool.
Okay. So, Nick's giving me the stare. Wrap it up.
I think we're getting to that point.
We'll be back next week. We're going to start standardizing this and try to start putting them out Wednesday nights. So they are out in time for the Thursday matchups, which gives us a little bit more time. We wrap up the week before, talk ahead Thursday and Sunday. Fortunately, that doesn't mean we get up to the absolute last second Sunday game time decisions, but you know.
It's all right. You got your last Thursday night game in between the podcasts.
If you're relying completely on us for fantasy football advice, then you're playing fantasy football wrong. That's okay.
Wow. I think we're smart enough. I think we give enough insight that people
I'm
0-5,
so whatever insight I give you it has an asterisk on it right now.
Yeah, but I make sure I tell them when you're wrong, so it's okay.
Or whenever Hungy gives a semi-hot take, just say like, all right, we'll take that with a grain of salt because this guy is 0-5. Yeah, that too.
All right. Well, we're looking like we'll be back Wednesday.
Wednesday nights.
Mm-hmm. Look for the next episode then. For now, we'll see you next week.
Happy week 6. Yeah,
Birds already won.
Sounds good.
Right, Nick?
Nope.
Yes, they did.
Nope.
Yes, they did. Giants are 1-5.
You're 500.
500 is leading the division right now, Nick.
Have a good night, everybody.
Peace out. We'll see you next week.
You're hungry too. Good night.